SAP's announcement that its business software maintenance costs are to be increased from 17% to 22% in the next 5 years has largely been met with negative reaction. Many business organizations are now beginning to question the value of their software maintenance contracts from SAP and other suppliers. At the SAP UK and Ireland User Group 2008 conference in London, I spoke to Forrester Research Enterprise Applications and Strategies Vice President Ray Wang about this issue. I asked him how businesses could go about assessing what value they're getting from their maintenance contracts.
So what we're really asking people to do is spend a lot of time figuring out where the value is coming from. And there are a couple areas that you can think about within the maintenance. One area is, are you really applying the latest enhancement packs? Are you really using support? Are you taking account of resources that are available to you that focus on improving optimization, right? Is it a better business process? Is it a better utilization of your hardware center? Is it better application of moving yourselves to less instances? And there's some options there. I think the bigger question, really, what we're trying to address is really how do you optimize your existing investments so you can free up money for new investments and innovation in other areas. There's so many other areas besides a commoditized HR process, a commoditized finance process that you can kind of expand on and kind of build there. So we really look at seven areas that are important. The first one, really aligning these projects to a business driver. And you can break those business drivers into four areas. You can look at regulatory compliance, the things that you're forced to do, the things that are designed around cost avoidance. You can do it against efficiency, which are the things to save money. You can do things around growth, which is really upsell, cross-sell, getting suppliers and partners on board. And of course, the last one is really about strategy, maybe a customer loyalty program, maybe master data management so that you can do something else. That's the first part. The second thing you want to do is think about a long-term app strategy. The components of that is really organizing the people for success, which is really improving collaboration, building a better way of looking at change management and training, making sure you have the right level of executive sponsorship. The second piece around that is process. There's process optimization. How do you think about what's commoditized? What do you think that is critical to your business? And then what's differentiating? And when you break it down that way, you can figure out how to optimize that. And then the last piece is thinking about the technology piece, or the third piece at least, thinking about technology. What do you do? Is it instance consolidation? Are you doing master data management? Are there different ways to optimize your technology strategy? And then the last piece is to think about the vendors, right? What vendors do you want to solve the problem? So that drives the long-term app strategy, which looks at people, process, technology, and the vendor ecosystem. The third thing is, think about what level of sole sourcing do you want to be in? Are you going to be 100% SAP shop? Are you going to be partially an SAP shop to solve all those process requirements? Because by the time you're done, you'll have a fit gap analysis. You'll understand what vendors play a role. And in many cases, you might be, you know, wall-to-wall SAP, or in many cases, you may decide to go sole sourcing. But we tell clients to separate their apps decisions or ERP piece and balancing that with other areas that are just on the edges or something that is a little bit more innovative. Some may come from SAP, some may come from other vendors. The fourth one is really think about the Enterprise Software Licensee Bill of Rights. Forrester looks at the software ownership lifecycle, which is selection, implementation, utilization, maintenance, and retirement of software. And when you think about all the use cases you might have, for example, you might move a data center from one location, you might consolidate data centers, you might be through a merger and acquisition. And if you're in a merger and acquisition, you might have different needs. You might be reducing the number of licenses. You might want to think about what happens in an audit. You might want to think about what happens with a new release, what rights do you have to those similar sets of functionality. So all those things fit under reviewing your contracts, trying to build business flexibility and agility into them. The fifth piece is thinking about controlling the escalating cost of maintenance. And that's the piece where we spend some time talking about, you know, what do you do in terms of setting expectations? What do you do in terms of, you know, proving the value that is within maintenance? And really a lot of this is, you know, dependent on your ability to negotiate your contracts and contain how much you're spending in maintenance. And on the other hand, making sure you're getting value in that maintenance. The sixth piece is really looking at instance consolidation. There are tremendous opportunities to save up to 389% on return on investment for instance consolidation. For example, if you're reducing instances from 40 instances to 10, 10 to 3, 3 to 1, across the board, you save money, not only by creating shared services environments, but reducing the data centers, reducing the testing requirements, reducing the time spent on upgrades. And then the last piece is really take advantage of upgrades. Right? You may have customizations in there. You may have built reports in there that are now being delivered and supported by the vendor. You may have additional functionality. So take time, look at the functional footprints. Of course, don't upgrade for upgrade's sake. That doesn't make sense. But upgrade because you have a business driver and back to that strategy. So those seven things are really things that we tell our clients to do as strategies to optimize their existing SAP instances, their ERP instances as well for value.
But now if they've done this analysis and they decide they're not getting that value, what sort of bargaining chip can an organization have with a big supplier like SAP?
Well, I think the big bargaining chip that they have is they've got to create scenarios where they still have leverage, right? And in some cases, it's buying additional licenses. More spend actually creates those opportunities. Potentially opening up the environment to multiple bidders and multiple vendors. So even if you've purchased the licenses, the cost to implement in some cases may be more expensive than acquiring another provider's product. And we see that often in an area like CRM, where you could put the cost to potentially implement and upgrade one version of ERPs and one version of a CRM may be more expensive than potentially deploying a solution like Microsoft CRM or Salesforce.com, for example.
What would you say then the role is of something like the SAP user group? Is that another way of getting influence to the vendor?
It is. Independent user groups have a significant role in terms of influencing decisions. As we noted, what's happening right now with SuGen and some of the work done here with the UK and Ireland SAP users group is that they've created a voice. Really a voice that has allowed for some of these discussions to take place. And I think the SAP management team has responded favorably in the sense of having that dialogue and having that level of collaboration. Now, that wouldn't have happened if they hadn't been vocal about representing their customers' interests, and also wouldn't have happened if SAP hadn't realized that there is some tremendous interest around this topic. But I think getting engaged with the user groups, participating in the special interest groups are one way. And I think there's also impact going on with future product direction. And in that product direction, you have opportunities to continue to provide input in terms of future product roadmap, as well as trying to understand, hey, am I getting value in this area?
For Computer Weekly, I'm Warwick Ashford.